Welcome back in. Hour number three of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you on this Wednesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Streaming live on Periscope, on YouTube, and on Twitch as well. Joe Rex Road sneaking up on the camera on our live stream right now. So we apologize to those viewers who may have been scared.
I had to take the opportunity. I am sorry. I was so late getting my 19th coffee.
It's okay. You did a very good job there. You can stream us every day on Periscope, on YouTube, and on Twitch as well. We've tweeted those links out at @RStanleyNHL and at 1025 The Game on Twitter.
You can watch me put stevia now in my coffee.
Yes, you can, for sure, right there in person. Going to be joined later this hour by Matt Duchesne, Predator Centerman, coming up at 8:45. Looking forward to our weekly visit with him. Adam Bingen at 9:30 from The Athletic. Joe Rexroad, I think, just got stevia in his eye. I don't really know what's going on over here.
I did. I was trying to make the sound in the mic, and I got stevia in my eye.
Porth, I really hope that you find that on video. I can clip that up.
Really,
because that's going to be amazing.
Really glad we're on camera now. Really glad we're on camera now. Great idea.
Peak athleticism from Joe Rexroad as well over here on the program. Lots to come still today here on the show. Right now, talking Titans and getting your reaction on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. Now, mock drafts coming out pretty regularly up until this point, and we know this. We've talked a lot about the mock drafts that Todd McShay has put out. Mel Kiper has put out a couple at this point, and every Wednesday at 8 o'clock leading up to the NFL draft, we're going to have our Draft Outlook segment brought to you by Farm Bureau Health Plans and by Apple Collision Centers. And today, really looking at this mock draft, this latest mock draft coming out by Mel Kiper of ESPN. Let's start with the Titans, because it's been interesting. A lot of the mock drafts that we've seen up until this point have had the Titans taking either a defensive lineman or an edge rusher, obviously based on the needs that they have. Well, now that you've got Bud Dupree in the fold, Danico Autry in the fold as well, one of the things that we've wondered about is how much does the draft board change now with the Titans, with those positions being addressed in free agency? And the Titans with the number 22 overall pick. In the latest mock draft, Mel Kiper Jr. has the Titans selecting Kadarius Toney, wide receiver out of Florida. Obviously, Kadarius Toney, very productive this past year in that Florida offense with Kyle Trask and Kyle Pitts slinging the ball all around the yard. And that is who Mel Kiper has the Titans selecting at number 22. So going with a wide receiver. And Kiper talked about Toney to the Titans at number 22 and why he thinks that could be a fit. Here's what Mel Kiper Jr. had to say.
Exciting player. And I think for Tennessee, and I thought Chicago could be somebody to look at him. Went with the offensive lineman, Vera Tucker from USC, Washington. But as you said, Curtis Samuel ended up signing there. So I think for Tennessee, yeah, it would be a guy that is versatile. We talked about the way the game is played today. It suits a guy like Kadarius Toney. There are tight ends, and then we can talk about tight end position and what you can do. As you mentioned, Jonnu Smith moving on in free agency. I think that's something where you look at and say, okay, who else? And they did add Josh Reynolds as well, wide receiver coming in from the Rams in free agency. So now you got Josh Reynolds, Kadarius Toney, A.J. Brown.
So that was Mel Kiper Jr. talking about Kadarius Toney. Joe, what's your reaction to maybe Kadarius Toney being selected in the first round by the Titans? And in this piece, Kiper points out that when lined up in the slot, Kadarius Toney averaged 15.6 yards per catch, adding 10 more scores to it as well. So maybe a guy that could be an option in the slot for the Titans as well.
I don't hate it, and I'm not surprised. You're going to see a lot more mocks now that have the Titans taking a receiver, and I think some that haven't taken a corner. Now, I just tweeted out an excellent mock draft I was a part of too, with the NFL beat writers, and I will say real quick, I'll add my contribution to Mel Kiper. I traded down with Tampa Bay, and I drafted Greg Newsom at 32, cornerback from Northwestern. So, in my opinion, with the Titans, because of the depth at receiver, I think you get past those top three receivers. Like, to me, I would rather have, well, a Rondale Moore.
Yeah.
Then later and get a corner early, then a Kadarius Toney or a Rashad Bateman earlier, if that's where those guys are going. And we don't know, we're guessing. But there's a lot of corners. I mean, in this thing right here, let's see. Count up the corners. You know the top ones are going to be, and they're probably going to go too high. Caleb Farley, though, he has the injury thing now. Patrick Surtain. You know, those two are like your – then you got J.C. Horn. Georgia's got the two guys who in this draft went in the first round. Tyson Campbell, Eric Stokes, and then you get all the way down to – I think Newsom could be the perfect fit for the Titans. So, long way of saying, one, my mock draft is awesome. Two, that I am leaning more toward the corner first in this. Now, Stillman, again, we kind of had this back and forth because he thinks Josh Reynolds is the two. He doesn't even think they should think receiver at all, high at all in this draft. I disagree with that. I think you have to draft your number two receiver. So whoever you feel is that perfect guy, wherever you need to get that guy, get that guy.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, it depends on it. And, Porth, you brought this up earlier this week. How much do the Titans value the wide receiver position? This is, if you place great value in it, and we were talking about it at that time in the context of the Sammy Watkins discussion, which I don't think is going to happen here with the Titans in Nashville, but how much do the Titans value the wide receiver position if a guy like Kadarius Toney is there at 22 or Rashad Bateman or whoever the guy would be at 22, even though it may make more sense to go ahead and select a cornerback in the first round, do you go receiver if he's the best player left on the board? How much did the Titans value that as they move forward?
Well, that's certainly an interesting question. I think another part of that is kind of what Joe's point is of can you get a better corner in the first round and still get a pretty comparable receiver in the second round? Is there a steeper drop-off in the corner class from round one to round two than there is in the receiver class? I think you do have to factor that in as well. I do hear Jared Stillman's point where when John Robinson has drafted for need, he hasn't been as successful as when he has drafted just best player available on the board. So I'm not dead set on not taking a receiver at 22. I'm not dead set on it. That's something that, you know, in days one and two of the draft, I feel like you do have to get a receiver. You do have to get a corner, whether that's at 22 in the second round or in the third round, your comp pick, whatever.
Okay, you just hit on a good answer for the last segment on sports pet peeves. The best available need discussion, because I don't believe at all that anyone drafts purely at best available, right? Like,
right.
I mean, if the best player on the board, the Titans board, who is a throw me a position that they're definitely not going to draft.
Safety.
Yeah. They're not, like you, it's of course it's both. But I do agree that if you can stick to your board and say, okay, look, we may need this position more, but this guy's way higher at that one, I agree that you go with the guy who's way higher at that one. If that makes sense. But no one goes in this draft and doesn't have need as part of their decision making, right?
Yeah.
But people talk about it like they do. Pet peeve.
Okay. There you go. I like that. That's a good one.
So add that to I don't have an answer for the other question. I got two
okay.
for that one.
Okay, thank you. We appreciate that. Another part of the mock draft here by Mel Kiper that is really gonna be interesting to monitor is what do the Jets do at number two? Now we've seen some mock drafts that have had the Jets trading out. We've seen some mock drafts that have had the Jets selecting Devontae Smith out of Alabama. I mean, it's kind of been all over the map. And in the latest mock draft, Kiper has the Jets selecting Zach Wilson at number two, quarterback out of BYU. And at the top of the piece in the description, Kiper says, I'm down to 50-50 here on the Jets keeping Sam Darnold. Free agency didn't tip off general manager Joe Douglas's plan. He went out and got much-needed receiving help with Corey Davis and Keelan Cole Sr. coming in there. So Kiper's got Zach Wilson going at number two and talked about that with Todd McShay and Phil Yates on Zach Wilson potentially at number two with the New York Jets and just what this whole saga could look like with the top part of this draft and the quarterbacks.
I'm keeping Sam and I'm either taking Kyle Pitts at two or I'm trading out of there if I got that opportunity. I'm not drafting Zach Wilson and trading Sam Darnold. That's me. And I like to say he's 23 years of age, same age as Kyle Trask. And he's been through the rigors and he's dealt with all this negativity. And here he is. And I was asked this question, Phil. And I'll pose it to you, Todd, as we go. If Sam Darnold were in this draft, where would he go?
I would have him too because I have a slightly higher grade.
He'll be the second pick in the draft to the New York Jets. So why the heck are you trading?
But that's is that knowing what we know right now, the first 3 years of his career?
Yeah, put him in there right now.
I think he'd be lower than that personally. I think it'd have to be. I would think it. Zach Wilson and sort of take your pick between. Sometimes it's the devil you don't know versus the devil you do know, right?
Yeah, I mean, there's two things. It's the turnovers that's frustrating the Jets, and then. Financially, are we able, because we have all these picks, 9 picks in the first 3 rounds of the next 2 drafts, 4 first rounders. Are we able to have the money available? Because it's going to be so much less expensive to have a rookie quarterback come in than what you're going to have to pay Darnold moving forward.
So that was Todd McShay, Mel Kiper Jr., and Phil Yates. And remember, when you know Mel Kiper's filling out these mock drafts, he's not saying what he would do. He's saying what he thinks will happen in these mock drafts. But in that part, offering his opinion and saying he's sticking with Sam Darnold. Is he trading up or maybe even trading out, getting Kyle Pitts to come in rather than Zach Wilson at quarterback. What do you think about the choices here for the New York Jets and how they could go, whether it's quarterback, wide receiver, tight end, whatever else position you want to throw out there?
Well, I think that last point made by whoever was talking through a ski mask was very important.
I think it was Field Yates.
Was that Yates?
Yes. Yes.
Look, I don't know what they think about Darnold. I think they kind of tipped their hand when Joe Douglas said he'd take calls. But you have a longer timeline of building to something if you go rookie here. Our Connor Hughes, by the way, says they'll likely deal Zach Wilson before the draft. He's tailor-made for this offense. The only question is, will he be ready week one? So,
people love Zach Wilson.
People love some Zach Wilson.
Slinging the ball around, as Chris Sims says, the hybrid between Patrick Mahomes and Aaron Rodgers.
Yes.
No pressure, kid.
That's all. And going to New York. So, yeah. Should be a nice, calm rookie year.
It should be really fun to watch if he ends up there. When we come back, we'll continue the conversation on the draft. What would you do with your first-round pick if you were the Tennessee Titans? Let us know on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on 102.5 The Game. 102.5 The Game is kicking off every weekend with free beer.
Free beer!
And who doesn't love free beer? Make sure you're tuning in all day on Friday for your chance to win a $25 gift card from Bavarian Beer House, located at Opera Mills Mall. We'll have that opportunity coming up on Friday with a trivia question from Ryan Porth. Now, at this time last week, Ryan Porth had already figured out his trivia question for Friday. I'm going to go out on a limb and say that's not the case. That should not be the standard for him every week. I mean, you can't figure out every Free Beer Friday trivia question on a Wednesday. Or am I wrong? Do you have it figured out already?
I think I do.
Oh, you think you do or you do?
I think I do. I'm going to ponder the next couple days to see if I find something better than the one that I picked out last night.
Okay. Wow. I stand corrected. There he is, Wednesday, every week.
Working ahead. Did you have a poll question today?
No.
We're coming up with it as we speak.
I don't mean to call you out.
Jeez.
Look at that look of depression on his face.
I don't think we ever really settled on anything.
I don't think we did either.
We got going with the show.
We got going. We'll come up with one. Don't worry.
I think we're doing it on the air. I like the Tennessee basketball one.
Have at it.
And throw one up.
Why don't you throw a poll question up?
Yeah, I did it one time, but it might take me too long. Be like Jared.
How long does it take?
Be like Jared picking out a ladder on Amazon.
Yes. You
know? takes a long time.
Just an elaborate
process. Just the right one.
That's right.
Got to match the drapes, Jared.
That's right. Oh, man. Talking now about the Tennessee Titans, and we talked about this a little bit in our Draft Outlook segment in the last segment, brought to you by Farm Bureau Health Plans and by Apple Collision Centers. What did the Titans do with their first-round pick? Because I think it was clear up until free agency that edge rusher or help on the defensive line was going to be a heavy point of emphasis, and maybe it still is for the Tennessee Titans, depending on who is available. But what would you do with the first-round pick if you were the Titans? Let us know on our text line. Driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Matt from Camden texts in and says, personally, if I'm the Titans, I take the highest-rated player on your board for a position of need. I don't care if it's wide receiver, cornerback, or edge. You take the best player available for those positions of need.
Well, I agree. I mean, that's the thing. Like, so we've been kind of toggling back and forth, receiver or corner, but if you're sitting there and you don't move out of 22 and you have an edge you absolutely love, Azeez Ojulari, whoever, you know, people that we used to be mock drafting to the Titans, and it's and that player is above the other guys on your overall paper, yeah, do it. I mean, I do think that there's, you know, there could be a run on corners in the first round. It's a premium position. There's a lot of guys who are projected as first rounders or right around the first rounders. I think that you have a better chance at receiver of going deep. It's a very deep receiver draft. And again, I think there's the very tiny list of the top guys, three guys, really, right? It's the two Alabama guys and Ja'Marr Chase.
Yep.
Unless I'm missing something.
Unless you want to draft Rondale Moore in the first round.
Well, I mean, he'd be my number one overall pick.
Exactly.
That's why I'm not a GM. But you can get receivers later. So now, but again, if it's like, oh my God, Rashad Bateman is just everything they wanted, just like Corey Davis was 4 years ago, go there.
Let's go back to the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Ben texts in and says, what if we got another pass rusher in the first round, have a top-tier rush in the league, then in round two you get your receiver and both round three picks to fill the other holes? A top-tier rush for the next 4 years might be worth selecting if it's in the first round. You might even have the second-best rush behind the Bucs in the league.
Well, then that means you'd be drafting a heck of a player, and Bud Dupree is great, and Harold Landry takes another step, and Danico Autry is big. But you can see where the pass rush could be much improved, and I agree. Look, you're also always thinking you have to. You, no matter what position you're in the short term, go for it or whatever you want to call it, you still always have to also think down the road. Is Harold Landry a guy who's going to get a substantial second deal from the Titans? I don't know.
I don't know. It's a good question.
I mean, obviously he's not a first-round pick, so there's not a fifth-year option. But, I mean, you may be replacing him with this person who you really like, and the idea of having actual depth at outside linebacker and versatility and not having to pick the undrafted guy of the week to be your third outside linebacker is pretty appealing.
Let's go back to the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Heidi from Dixon texts in and says, trade the first rounder for two picks in the second and third rounds. Five guys that can all play now in the top 100 would help the team the most.
Well, four-ladder Heidi, this is exactly what I did with my mock draft.
It is.
Traded with the Bucks. So Greg Allman, friend of the show,
yes,
who covers the Bucks, offered the trade to me. And my first impulse was, well, John Robinson still listens to whatever Jason Light tells him to do. So he will.
Yes.
But no, I traded 10 spots down and I got another pick in the third round. And so I got five in the top 100. I agree. If you can get to five picks in the top 100 picks, then that's very important for this team.
Yep.
For your financial situation, for your roster situation. And then you just need to draft all players who will play this year and have the opposite kind of draft than you did in 2020.
And to that point, the draft strategy from Sam on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, in the first round, we should take someone in the first round who plays more than four snaps. Probably
that's
a pretty important draft strategy.
That's a very good strategy.
I would say the chances of that, fairly likely.
Also, you should call the touchdown plays that make the touchdowns and not the plays
that make the interceptions,
that have the interceptions and the incompletions. And,
yes.
And like call the plays where like you run for a lot of yards.
If Todd Downing can do that, it's going to be a successful year one for him as Titans offensive coordinator.
I feel like at some point during a Titans game, I may try to see if I can sit with Jason Fitz and just watch his reaction to Todd Downing's
call.
And if Todd Downing is really good, what will that mean to the Raiders fan who's convinced that he's a terrible OC?
Probably won't like it. Probably be like, where was this? I guess it was Oakland at the time.
Else.
It was not Vegas at the time. It was Oakland.
It was Oakland.
Speaking of, Marcus Mariota taking a pay cut yesterday. What did you think about that? Coming back to the Raiders. I'm surprised.
Yeah, I'm a little surprised too. I feel like there are other places that would be better for him. But I don't, you know, I don't know the interest level out there, and certainly he and his agent have a better feel for that. I never liked that move anyway. I never really bought the idea that Derek Carr was in serious jeopardy. Again, I know he had the terrible year, well, when Todd Downing was OC.
Yeah.
And he's been up and down, but that's not your place. There's other places in this league where you are right there. Like, you know, when Tannehill was traded here, that was a good situation for him. So I don't know. I didn't like it. I was hoping he'd get out of there. It's still possible. You never know with Gruden, though.
Yeah,
he's all over the map. So Mariota could be the week three starter.
He could. We'll see what happens on that front. When we come back, we'll continue the discussion on the Tennessee Titans. Take a deeper look at the receiver room as well. Rex Rhodes causing quite a stir online yesterday in the receiver room. We'll talk about that coming up next. But hey, make sure you're tuning in tomorrow and all season long with the Predators when they've got a weekday game this season, because it's your opportunity to participate in Preds Pick to Click, brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka. If you guess a Preds player that scores a goal in the game that night, you'll win a prize pack. The next chance to participate is tomorrow morning at 8:45, so make sure you're tuned in for that. We'll be right back. Robbie and Rex Rhodes here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Rhodes here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Rhodes, Ryan Porth here with you on this Wednesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. We'll be joined by Predators centerman Matt Duchene at 8:45 for his weekly visit, brought to you by Two Rivers Ford and by Gary Ashton Remax Advantage. That coming up here in about 15 minutes or so. So looking forward to that conversation with Matt Duchene. Lots of people on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, asking about our takes on the hot mic incident last night in the Preds game. We'll get back into that in the 9 o'clock hour as well. So make sure you stay tuned for that. Right now, talking Titans. But before we get back into the Titans, Joe, there is some quick breaking news in the NFL. This coming from both Tom Pelissero, who had it first, and now Ian Rappaport as well.
Sorry, Rappaport.
Yeah, sorry, buddy. The Bucs are finalizing a one-year deal to re-sign Ndamukong Suh to bring back into the fold at Tampa Bay. According to Pelissero, $9 million for Ndamukong Suh, fully guaranteed with incentives tossed in there as well. So more expensive for Suh to come back in this year than it was last year.
Yeah, what did he make last year?
I think it was like 7 or 8. I have to go back and look, but it wasn't 9.
Because I was thinking, man, if the Titans could get Suh for like 5. So the Bucks,
do they have a salary cap?
Well, is there a thing in the NFL that we don't know about where if you just won the last Super Bowl, you may get the last pick, but you have $30 million more of like ghost money that we all don't know about?
I take that back. Like, he has $9.25 million last year, so I guess he's about the same.
Oh, why did I think the Titans would sell him for 5 then? I don't know.
Because he's old?
Again, why I'm not a GM. That's a substantial number. That's a big deal for them, too. I think Suh, one of those a guy who used to be as dominant as anybody up front in the NFL, was absolutely the Heisman winner as a junior or whatever, his last year at Nebraska, and idiots didn't vote for him. But still a very good player and a big part of what they did. You know, this is why Bud Dupree is going to be the focus next year on the Titans pass rush, of course, and he's got to produce. But Denico Autry with Simmons, you know, I really like what that could do for the pass rush. And the Bucs had Golston and Suh and some of those guys up front who also, you know, Vita Vea. I mean, they had some guys in the interior who were a part of all the sack guys who got all the glory.
They did. So it looks like the band coming back together in Tampa Bay. They'll take another crack at the Super Bowl. And we've been talking about the Titans all show long or all hour long here on the program. And we'll continue to take your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. But, Joe, you caused quite a stir yesterday on the Twitter sphere with a story you came out with on The Athletic. Now, we talked about that story a little bit yesterday here on the show about the wide receiving room, what the depth chart looks like at the moment. Obviously, you bring in Josh Reynolds. I think you and I both feel like probably a good option for the number 3 receiver for the Titans, but still some work to do in the draft as well coming up. But there was one player in particular that you talked about in your story on The Athletic that got Titans fans in quite the stir yesterday. What happened? What are you doing getting all Titans fans all fired up?
I didn't write it well. I mean, I have to take some blame for this because I didn't explain that it's a domino effect. So if you just read this line, but a source said the Titans were never into the top guys in the market, and here's why, Nick Westbrook, Akina, and you stop there, then you're going to freak out. So, I have to take the blame for that. Obviously, it's a domino effect. The point being that he is a guy that they like. Look, they have to like him for him to make the team after that camp he had, dropping the football. And it's special teams. That's where it starts for him, and that's what gives him one thing that gives him a good chance to be on the team next year. But I think he also has a chance to actually have a role as a receiver next year. They really like how he's come along. So that's the information I got, and I threw it in, and people ran with it like he's going to be the two. He's not at the two. I think he basically replaces Khalif Raymond, and he may be something like a Tajay Sharpe for this team. And I thought at times, you know, they might have missed Tajay Sharpe a little bit last year. A guy like that, he's big enough, physical enough. He runs well. He's not a burner. He's not as fast as Raymond, but he's got a chance to contribute. That was so. The point being, you have him and you feel okay about it. We know Cam Batson is probably the last guy, but still a guy that, you know, can come in and do some things. Now you have Reynolds, who starts the season as the two, probably, but I think ideally in a good offense as a three. And now you draft for that 2-3 to eventually be the two. You want the draft pick to be really good. That's the idea. And I think that you're okay. You're less okay. You're more likely to be active in free agency if you don't feel as good about the back end of the room, and they feel better than I think people realized.
Let's go to our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. JD texts in and says, I think the Titans missed what would have been a good signing for them in the wide receiver room in John Brown. He signed a one-year $3.75 million deal. I think he would have made a nice number two for the Titans. I'm a big John Brown fan. I think he's really good. Now, he's
older,
on the wrong side of 30 now. So you worry about that if you're the Titans. And
durability.
Especially durability, but also a guy that's relied a lot on speed in his career. And you get on the other side of 30, you start to really worry about that with John Brown.
Yeah, like, I mean, he was definitely a name I looked at going into it, and I would agree. I mean, there are a lot of names that I think could have worked out. We talked about Marvin Jones over and over again. But, you know, who could resist the lure of Urban Meyer?
Yes.
So I don't necessarily disagree, but I do think younger is good. And the thing I like about Josh Reynolds is he is early in his career, and he's coming off his best year, and there appears to be some upside still. I think John Brown is going the other way.
Let's go back to the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Chad texts in and says, how do y'all feel about Caleb Farley? With the back surgery, I think there's a good chance he falls to the Titans now in the draft. Would you feel comfortable taking him? I see a lot of Joe Hayden in Caleb Farley. Of course, Caleb Farley out of Virginia Tech, eligible in the draft this year.
Fantastic player, opted out. Here's my thing. Although we just talked last segment about, hey, if the edge is who is your top guy on the board, take the edge in the first round, right? But I don't know about grabbing someone who's injured in the draft. Your eyes just got really big. What the heck just happened?
Yeah, some breaking news on the NHL front. This coming from the PR NHL account, so NHL Public Relations. Referee Tim Peel will no longer be working NHL games now or in the future.
Whoa!
So this coming from the National Hockey League itself. Quote, National Hockey League Senior Executive Vice President of Hockey Operations Colin Campbell announced today that referee Tim Peel, following his comments during the game last night between the Red Wings and the Predators, no longer will be working NHL games now or in the future. Quote, nothing is more important than ensuring the integrity of our game, Campbell said. Tim Peel's conduct is in direct contradiction to the adherence to that cornerstone principle that we demand of our officials and that of our fans, players, coaches, and all those associated with our game expect and deserve. There is no justification for his comments, no matter the context or his intention, and the National Hockey League will take any and all steps necessary to protect the integrity of our game. So Tim Peel out as an NHL official.
Well, so yeah, like Martel here is like indefinite NHL suspension for Peel. That's not what this is.
That's done, the way I read it.
Yeah.
Now we're in the future.
Now we're in the future means he's done.
Yeah.
You're fired. Wow. So the NHL is a lot more outraged than I was about that. Apparently.
Jeez.
What about the official? Like, oh, I know. What about him? Is he getting trouble?
There's nothing about Kelly Sutherland in this piece.
Apparently he was on board. Sounded like pretty run-of-the-mill stuff to me.
Yeah. I haven't seen anything about Kelly Sutherland.
So the enabler is he's not in trouble. Wow.
So if you missed this last night in the Preds game, there was a hot mic with Tim Peel, who was officiating the game last night, as the television broadcast was going to break. And basically, a penalty was called on the Predators, and Tim Peel went into some detailed discussion of why he called the penalty. Here's what that hot mic incident caught last night on the broadcast.
It wasn't much, but I wanted to get a penalty against Nashville early in the...
So you hear him saying there, obviously an expletive that we can't use, but wanting to get a penalty against Nashville. And the broadcast kind of cuts out there. And to your point, I mean, you could hear Kelly Sutherland in the background saying, yeah, I know. So,
and we, man, we do this all the time.
We talked about this earlier in the show. Like, this happens in the NHL, and you see referees trying to, like, call games a certain way and officiate games a certain way, maybe to curb some things early on. I think that was way more of a thing back when the game was more physical than it is right now. I don't think you see it quite as much anymore. But obviously, that audio was leaked. It was a gigantic story last night around the league. And now the NHL coming out today and saying that Tim Peel is done. Will no longer be working NHL games now or in the future.
Okay, so I have to read this as, this has got to be a last straw thing for him, right?
Maybe.
It can't be just this thing, right?
I don't know, man.
Well, I mean, but Tim Peel.
Tim Peel.
You said it earlier. I mean, he's a guy who's been a negative discussion point for years.
When you know a referee's name, generally speaking, in the NHL, it's probably not a good thing.
Right.
Other than Wes McCauley.
See, this is, and this is another thing. Yeah, Wes McCauley, Michigan State legend, by the way.
Yeah.
This is another thing where I think leagues need to be more transparent about officials if they get in trouble and things like that. Because it looks like it's just, and maybe I'm wrong, but it looks like it's like a reaction to this one thing. But I bet you there's a pretty big stack. There's a pretty big file on Tim Peel, right?
Could be. Absolutely could be. So some breaking news on the NHL front. We'll continue to react to that throughout the show back in the 9 o'clock hour as well. And speaking of the Nashville Predators, when we come back, we'll be joined by Matt Duchesne, Predator Sentiment, for our weekly visit with him. That's coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you on this Wednesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Streaming live on Periscope, on YouTube, and on Twitch as well. Right now talking about the Nashville Predators. And to help us do that, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Predator centerman Matt Duchesne, brought to you by Gary Ashton Remax Advantage and by Two Rivers Ford. Matt, what's going on, man? How we doing?
Hey, how are you?
We are doing well. Thanks for taking time to join us. And Matt, let's start with the obvious. How are you feeling? What's the recovery process been like for you the last week? And how close do you think you could be to getting back into some game action as they move through the schedule here?
Yeah, I'm getting there. It's I kind of plateaued this last week a little bit, but I'm still able to skate. I'm able to skate pretty much full out. It's just getting battle ready and, just making sure I'm able to react properly, out there. There's still obviously a little bit going on. So, I was kind of hoping to be ready for this week, but it's, it might be a little bit, more like next week. I don't know. It's, it's a day by day thing right now. And, but I'm excited that there's some light at the end of the tunnel. So it's tough watching games, and I'm excited to get back out there.
Well, Matt, there's some breaking NHL news here. I wanted to get your reaction to. I don't know if you've seen this, but Tim Peel apparently has been fired by the league, although they kind of phrased it in a strange way. But I guess, what's your reaction to that, and what's your reaction to what happened last night? You know, him getting caught on the mic, basically saying he gave you guys a penalty, because he just wanted to give a penalty early in the period.
Yeah, I saw that whole thing. I mean, he's a veteran ref. He's, it was his last year anyway, so I think, that's maybe why they let him go rather than maybe suspending him or fining him. But, the crazy part is he was talking to Phil Forsberg in that clip. And he told our bench that. So, really bizarre. And I just think that can't happen. I mean, you gotta, imagine the scenario where they score on that power play, we lose the game and we miss the playoffs by a point. I mean, imagine that scenario, which is, that could happen, right? Like, that could happen based on, that is not out of the realm of possibility, right?
Yeah.
So, I think, I think that, you know, I don't think that there's a place in hockey for that. You got to call the game. It doesn't, you can't even, I've always been frustrated when I see even up calls or stuff like that. Like if one team is earning power plays, you can't punish them because the other team is not, you know what I'm saying? So, I mean, that call was not a good call on RV. I mean, during the game, we're watching and we're like, what the heck was that? I mean, like, that wasn't even close to a penalty. And it was bizarre. I hope that's not something that goes on with more officials, but I mean, there's definitely nights where you're skeptical of it for sure.
Well, that was my next question for you, Matt, because like earlier in the show, I was like, you know, I feel like these discussions probably do happen from time to time, maybe in games that are, you know, getting a little out of hand, I guess, physically. But even in other sports, sort of the, okay, I'm going to call something maybe to even up fouls in basketball or, like, you know, in football, got to calm this guy down or whatever the case may be. I guess I assume that does happen to a decent extent, but it sounds like you don't necessarily agree with that.
Well, I think, like, if you make a bad call as an official and it's a chintzy call, you can't punish the other team because you made a bad call. That makes sense. Like,
right.
You know, if last night he makes a bad call on one of their guys and knows it's a bad call, you can't then turn around and make another bad call. Like, it doesn't fix it, right? Like, you can't, you know, you watch for, you know, when you, I mean, maybe you watch a little more closely and you want to make sure that there's equal opportunity, but at the same time, you can't be going looking for any reason. That's what I think. I think the officials have a tough job. There's lots of stuff that they see that, you know, from a certain angle or whatever, and they're watching real time. They don't, you know, they don't have a chance to watch replay before they make a call. So, I mean, it's a tough job, but at the same time, I think that mentality of, like, let's have, you know, equal power plays here. Most nights one team is better than the other, and though the team that's better than the other generally should be drawing more penalties. That's just kind of how it is. So, and I think, like, you know, when we're not playing well and if we're taking penalties, I feel like we understand that's on us. It's not on the ref to even it up. You know what I'm saying? And
yep.
Vice versa. If we're playing great and we're drawing penalties, we don't expect them to call penalties to even it up for the other team. So that's kind of how I feel about it. I think you should get what you deserve in terms of penalty calls. And, you know, if one team gets 7 power plays and the other team gets 0 because they don't earn any, that's the way it is. So, you know, it's that's my view on it. So I didn't like that last night at all. I don't think anyone did. And I was pretty shocked by it, to be honest. Like, you know, at least he told our bench how he was, that, like, it wasn't a secret, I guess. But still, it's kind of bizarre.
Yep, absolutely bizarre. And as we've said, the NHL now taking action on that front with Tim Peel. Matt Duchene, Predator Centerman, on the line with us, brought to you by Gary Ashton Remax Advantage and by Two Rivers Ford. So, Matt, you guys have won 4 out of 5 and all of a sudden 4 points out of the final playoff spot here in the Central Division. What stood out to you from your vantage point as to what's kind of turned around with this team and how you've been able to find more consistency in your game?
I think we're getting outstanding goaltending, first of all. You know, and I think because we're not a high-scoring team this year, we need that. You know, unfortunately for Juice and Pex, we need them to be, you know, probably 8, 9 out of 10 each night to give us a chance to, you know, score enough to win. And right now, but I also think that guys are playing hard. I mean, I'm watching, you know, the compete and the desperation and desperation is maybe the wrong word. I think just the intensity. I think it's not desperation. I've always actually hated that word. I don't think you can be desperate and perform properly and perform well. I think the intensity level has been really good. And, you know, last night I thought we made some really good plays. I thought we were creative at times, which was good to see. And, you know, our power play has been better. PK was good. There was some good stuff. And for me, that game, watching the first period, I just felt like that game wasn't in doubt last night. So, and when we made mistakes or gave chances, Juice was there to stop it. So he's been on fire lately since he's come back. And, you know, I think we kind of understand the situation where, you know, those top three teams aren't really catchable at this point. They're three of the best teams in the league. And, you know, it's kind of a four-horse race below those teams. So it's going to be a battle right till the finish. And we got another big one tomorrow and then a huge, huge series against Chicago on the weekend. So, you know, you can move up really quick in this season, and you're never really out of it, and you're never fully in it either. So, or guaranteed in, you know, in a spot, because it can be taken. The last, you know, 20 some whatever games we have left are going to be, it's going to be a sprint big time.
So Matt, is it fair or accurate to say that maybe the way that you guys have talked about playing, and even going into the season, is kind of coming to fruition now? Is it just a matter of, you know, kind of figuring out how to get to that? You know, and I'm talking about, you know, being tougher to play against, maybe being a little bit more defensive minded. Is that the right way to look at this?
You know, it's hard to say. I mean, I haven't been in the locker room in, you know, almost a month. So I don't really know. It sucks when you're hurt because you don't get you don't feel the vibe of the team. You kind of get this disjointed from that. But so I'm just watching and seeing what I'm as a spectator and kind of seeing, you know, trying to, I obviously know our team. I know our systems. I know all that. I think that we're, I think we're just finding ways to find ways to win. And I think we win enough to put us where we need to be. And I think, especially with the injuries, I mean, that's commendable on the boys. I mean, they're the guys that are in the, that have stepped in the lineup have pulled their weight and done their job. And, you know, you get a call from, you know, Olivier last night, a guy who's been so effective on our fourth line and, you know, has just accepted that role so well and played that role so well. I think that, you know, a guy like him is a prime example of guys just doing what it takes. And I think that, I think we're just, you know, it just shows we have a ton of character in that room and I love our group. And I've said that from day one and I believe in this team. And, I think, you know, yeah, has it been an easy year? No, it has not. And do we score at will? Definitely not. But, you know, we're finding ways to use our ability and use our character to get wins.
Predator centerman Matt Duchesne has been our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road, brought to you by Gary Ashton Remax Advantage and by Two Rivers 4. Matt, appreciate you taking time to join us this morning, man. Great stuff.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks for having me, guys.
Absolutely. Thanks, we'll talk to Matt Duchesne again next week. He joins us every Wednesday at 8:45. A lot to react to there. A very interesting perspective from Matt Duchesne on the Tim Peel situation and the news coming out in the NHL. Tim Peel is out. After the game last night between the Predators and the Red Wings, the hot mic incident. And we'll react to a little bit more of what Matt Duchesne had to say there when we come back. This is Robbie and Rex Road, live from the Wholesale Link Studio, powered by RumbleOn.com. You're on ESPN 102.5 The Game.